Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion. We'll be talking about a mother's influence. A mother's influence. When you study the Scripture, throughout the Scripture, you'll find a variety of mothers and the influence they had on their sons and daughters, some for good, some for bad, some wicked, and some were godly. And we are going to look at some of those mothers today during the course of this broadcast, and looking forward to having your call, your questions, your comments, your dialogue. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. Later in the broadcast, we'll be inviting you to call in. Share a word of testimony. What your mother has meant to you, or what she means to you, how she has influenced your life. Perhaps your mother's still alive. That's wonderful. If she's not, that is all right. We still need you to call and share a word of testimony, the influence that your mother had on your life. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, the truth book. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In John 8:31 and 32, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am truth." And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." So it's the truth of the word of God that ought to guide our lives. It's the truth of the word of God that ought to be the light unto our feet, lamp unto our pathway as we go day by day. But it's truth today, ladies and gentlemen, that's not sought for, not listened to, and not anything that is wanted or desired. It goes back to the George Orwell statement of the secularist of the 1947-48 in his writing of his dystopian fictional novel called 1984. In that book, he says, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we live in that society today. A dissing, a disengaging, and a refusal to hear anything that's called truth. It's the 15th century theologian and church reformer, John Huss, that made the statement that I believe we need as Christians today to adhere to. He says, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. So may I challenge you with that today. The truth of the Word of God, as we face the issues, is not based on political, ideological bent. It's not based on denominational dogma. It's not based on some philosophical rhetoric. It's based on what does the Word of God say. And I don't know, I've said that day after day after day after day for less than 100 years now on this broadcast, and I believe we need to adhere to that. That is the truth book, and I believe that's what God would have us to do, is to defend the truth, even if it means our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They have a knowledgeable staff to answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner's brand of landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic U.S. flag flowing there. It's about 165-foot pole. The top of that pole flies Old Glory, U.S. flag. Ladies and gentlemen, find that flag and flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Tam. ToolsforTam.com. ToolsforTam.com. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk about the influence of a mother, a mother's influence. It is, ladies and gentlemen, the influence of a mother on an individual's life goes throughout of all of our lives. So just what kind of influence has your mother had on your life? What kind of influence have you, you have seen in your mother that's influencing your life today, that's caused you today to be who you are and what you are? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe you can ask any child, and you'll find that they will tell you, that child will tell you, the greatest influence on their life has come from their mother. It's the mother, ladies and gentlemen, that more often than dad will influence the life of the child. It's the mother, I use the term, that will wipe away the tears after a bicycle wreck. It's the mother that will kiss away the hurt after there's been injury or hurt feelings. It's the mother that will give words of hope and counsel and encouragement in academic work for school years. It's the mother that usually will pray and read the Bible with their child at bedtime. It's the parent's influence, that mother and father, but primarily we're talking about the mother today. It's the mother's influence and the counsel that impact the life of a child for good and for godliness, or for ungodliness and for wicked and evilness throughout their lives. Before we take our first caller, I want to just share with you an article. Chuck Norris, most of you know that name. Chuck Norris writes a tribute to his 100-year-old mother on Mother's Day. This article says, the iconic movie star, television actor, martial arts producer, and Christian Chuck Norris wrote an article this week honoring his wife, Gina, and his mother, Wilma Norris Knight, for Mother's Day. Norris's mother just turned 100 years old on May the 4th. The article says Norris shared that his mother lived through the Great Depression, picked cotton with her family to survive. She married at the age of 16, but her alcoholic father, left home to raise his two brothers by herself. After the father left, she had the responsibility of raising the two brothers, that's Chuck Norris and his brother, by herself. I can identify that, ladies and gentlemen. My dad passed away when I was 5 years old. My mother raised the five of us in the home by herself and ultimately had a stepdad that was a drunk, wanted to kill everybody when he would even smell an alcoholic beverage. And so I can identify with that. But further, the article says, the 81-year-old actor said his mother has been an example of perseverance and faith her whole life. Attributing growing up in the church to his mother, Norris gave his life to Christ at an early age of 12, was baptized, and shortly thereafter attended a Billy Graham crusade that helped grow his faith in Christ. The iconic tough guy revealed that his mother prayed for him for his entire life. She started from the time that he was born, and she almost died from complications. Even when he was an adult, this article says she prayed for a woman to come into his life and change him, which led Norris back to Jesus when he was married. Norris said that he nearly lost his soul to Hollywood a few decades ago, but his mother prayed for his success and for his salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonderful article in Toto where he's praising his mother, and basically Chuck Norris says, it's my mom's influence for Christ that changed my life, revolutionized my life, that helped me in my walk with the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the influence of a mother that makes the vast difference in a child's life, in childhood and in adulthood. And so, today in this broadcast, that's what we're talking about. And, ladies and gentlemen, we're inviting you to call in, share a word of testimony. What has mom meant to you? How has her life influenced your life? What is your life like as a result of mom's influence on your life? I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go ahead with the question, a call, or comment.
You know, as you speak, everything I thought I would say, you know, kind of got shifted around. I got to thinking how I'm so thankful for your mother. I'm so thankful for my mother, your wife. I'm so thankful for my daughter's mother, my wife. I'm so thankful for my grandson's mother, my daughter. So I've got a lot to be thankful for.
That's right.
And the,
I like that.
The influence is off the charts. When you see Grandma's compassion, her compassion, her love for the Lord, her desire to see us all in church, to see her sitting in a rocking chair and singing Because He Lives, to see my mother continuous in the faith but steady hard at work simultaneously throughout my entire life. Then to see my wife, that my mother's example had a lot to do with the wife that that I chose or chose me. By the way, side note, I need to know which story is true. While we're on the air, nobody's listening. It's just me and you. How did that meeting go? Was it really, you know, she was behind you in church and said to you in front, you know, just up there and be stuck up? Or did you really reach over from what your bassinet to her bassinet, you know, in the hospital and say, hey, you're mine? Or was it Tony that set you? Which story is the real story?
It depends on the audience. As I tell people, my wife met me in the hospital. She was in the pink bassinet. I was in the blue bassinet. She rolled over and looked at the nurse and said, "Nurse, I want him." And we've been married ever since. Then the true story is she walked into Sunday school classroom that Sunday morning that my girlfriend at the time was not present. And she looked over at me, and I tell people she winked at me. Of course, she didn't, but it was as though she had. And I tell her that she winked at me and said, "Lord, he's mine." And, wow. And so I'm thankful that she met me that Sunday morning, and I'm thankful that we had dialogue and discussion. And I am so thankful that God gave me a Christian wife and a mother for you and for your siblings, a Christian mother.
Well, you know, the scripture says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And my mom wouldn't be my mom if she weren't your wife first. And I'm thankful that she fits the text when it comes to so much of what King Lemuel's mother said to him in Proverbs 31. And she is that woman that's far above rubies, you know, priced far above rubies. She was the one that's, you know, steadily busy day and night about good things, steadily working in the ministry and working in the household and working in the business. I've never seen her stand still. Matter of fact, she probably needs to do a little bit of that, but I've never seen her stand still. And both you and Mom have been, you know, as some said, you're the perfect marriage of truth and grace. But you and Mom have been the perfect example of what a couple should look like, and steady in the faith and steady in business and steady in family. And it hasn't ceased. It hasn't slowed down. Matter of fact, I oftentimes say your shoes are smaller than mine, but I'll never fill them. The example is so great, and it had so much to do with, again, my family and my wife and the choosing, whichever way it took place. I think it was God's choosing, and I just happened to fall into it. But I always, in my conversations with Mom, whether they be text or on the phone, with love my mama, love my mom. So I'm a mama's boy, and I'm proud of it. I'm fine with that. I'm happy about that.
Amen. I like that. I am so thankful for Mom. I'm thankful for her influence on your life and the life of each of you boys. I'm thankful that you called it truth and grace, or it's, I think it's Jeff that calls it law and grace. He says, "Dad, law and Mom's grace." So that's a good blend,
good
law
stuff.
And grace.
Good stuff. Well, for everybody to know today, I love my mama. I love my daddy, too. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for your words, encouragement, and blessing for me personally. And I know for Mom, if she's listening. So thank you so much, Greg. Pastor Davis is with me today. Pastor, what would you like to say in relationship to some thoughts you have on Mom?
Amen. Well, praise God. I thank God for being here again today. Thank
Amen.
You for the opportunity,
Amen. I'm thankful.
Dr. Youngblood, to be a part of this program Amen. On today as well. And I just want to say, amen, I thank God for first, amen, my mother also, Mother Verdi Davis.
Amen.
Amen, who was a godly mother. Amen, who also shaped my life. Amen. And help me, you know, in so many different ways to be the type of man that I am on today. She was a hardworking, independent woman, amen, that even, you know, during the times that my father walked away, amen, for a period of time, we were in a one-person, one-parent household. Mm-hmm. My mother didn't let anything slip away from her. She did everything she could do to keep the family together,
amen,
to keep the comfort, to be a provider, to to give us love, you know, everything that we needed to make our house a home. And I thank God for her on today. Thank God for my wife, amen, Pastor Davis, amen, who is the wife of my children on today. I don't think God could have provided them with a better mother, amen, on today, a better mother, amen. I do thank God for her. Thank God for my mother-in-law also, amen, amen, being, amen, the one to, amen, birth my wife into the world.
Right.
So that, amen, God would put us together and make it like a marriage, amen, that was made in heaven.
Right,
amen. So I thank God for, amen, all of those on today.
Yes.
And I do thank God for each and every female, amen, in the family. When we start talking about sisters, aunts, you know, different others in the family, amen, we have to, amen, know this from a perfect standpoint. Dr. Youngblood, a friend and I were speaking on the other day because we were sitting down watching two kids play. It was a young girl and a young boy. And the young girl had a baby doll. And he said, you know what? He said, if you sit down and watch that young girl, and she was about 2 or 3 years old, playing with the baby doll, he said, if you pay close attention, God has put the instinct into them from birth.
Yes.
On how to be a mother. So just look at how she's treating that baby doll.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought about that.
That's right.
I sat down and I watched that, and I tell you, that really hit home for me.
Mm-hmm.
So each and every time I see, you know, little kids, especially girls, playing with the baby dolls, I watch them, how they love those baby dolls, how they you know, pull them close to themselves and hug them tight, how they, you know, try to change diapers and treat them just like a real child.
That's right.
So that now, when the day comes that, you know, they grow up and get married, you know, and start having a family and start birthing children in the world, they already have the training that they need in
already
order to help them.
God-given instinct. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Davis, I believe we have a caller on the line. Give you the question or comment, please. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead with the question or comment.
Oh, yes. I wanted to just thank God that my mother was such a prayer warrior. There was many years that I was far away from God, and I believe it was her unceasing prayer that I have come home. I've been home now for 12 years, and it's just such a blessing to have a mother that is a godly woman. And it's when you talk to people and say that you should come to Christ because you might die, I say you should come to Christ because you might live, because it's a much better living walking with Christ.
Amen. Exactly right. And it's the mother's influence generally that we find that brings that about. And it's, as the old timers used to call it, the mother's praying and standing in the gap for us. And that's exactly what we see as we study the scripture. Young Timothy's wife, a mother, for example, and his grandmother, the Apostle Paul said they had unfeigned faith. That means unmixed, total, true faith. And he said, told Timothy, and I believe that same thing is found in you. And that's a good indication there of the transition from grandmother to mother to son of the faith in God and the service and surrender. In fact, you can look at the 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 15, and find the scripture pointing out the scripture that was given to Timothy that he learned from a baby, a child. And in the text, that's the little Greek word brephos, means an infant. From an infant up, he was trained in the scriptures. So you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your recognition and the praise of Mom for the influence in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a mother's influence. I'd love to hear from you, your testimony of what your mother's influence has been like in your life. As you studied the scripture, Pastor Davis, there are a lot of mothers. And down through the years, as I've chosen Mother's Day messages, I've looked at different mothers and their influence on their sons and their daughters. And we can find that in the scripture, according to the Bible, biblical record, a mother's influence can be for godliness, godlessness, and for goodness and for greatness.
Amen.
As you studied the scripture.
Amen.
And that's the way I've simply looked at it down through the years. I believe we have another caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood, Brother Davis.
Good morning.
I wanted to add to Dr. Youngblood's monologue. He nailed just about everything I wanted to say. I thank God every day for my mom, and she's still with me, or still with, Amen. Still here with us. But I wanted to add one other thing that my mother used to always say: "You wait till your father gets home."
My God,
I'm just going to leave you guys with that one. All right.
That's good.
Bye. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You so much. God bless you for your testimony for your mom. Yeah, it's you know, when your daddy gets home, he's going to kill you. You know.
Amen.
That's
I remember those words.
That's right. That's usually what they would say. And of course, those that have grew up with fathers in the home, that was always good and a challenge, I understand. And I was not fortunate enough to grow up with a father in the home. My dad passed away when I was 5 years old. My mother said that she didn't understand it. God had allowed our dad to die. But by the way, that was in the 40s, and he died out in the cotton field picking cotton. And most today think that that's something that you don't find taking place, is in the cotton field picking cotton. That's where he was when he had a sunstroke and died. But my mother raised five of us, working about 90 hours a week in the spinning mill in McCormick, South Carolina. Bring home pay was about $26 a week. That doesn't sound like a lot of money, but then it was a lot of money.
Amen.
And
Amen.
She
Amen.
And Pastor Davis, she was able to put food on the table,
Amen.
Put clothes on our backs, and make sure that we were in school.
Amen.
But every day, making sure that we were in the Scripture, reading the Scripture, praying, etc. And she didn't even have a way of transportation
Amen.
Until
Amen.
Shortly
well,
after
Dr.
my dad.
Well, Dr. Youngblood,
died.
As you said, I could remember. I was a small child, you know. I could remember my mother working for 50 cents a day.
Yes. Yes.
This was back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God, God was working through that 50 cents.
Amen.
Amen. So you see, when God get in something, he makes it greater.
That's right.
Amen. And the 50 cent was like $500.
Oh, absolutely.
Back in the 60s.
That's
because,
right.
Dr. Youngblood, I could remember, especially on Sundays, we had a big table spread from that 50 cent.
That's right.
We had chicken. We had rice. We had all the goodies,
That's
you know,
right.
that families enjoyed. Cornbread and even a dessert.
That's what you call a Southern banquet.
Amen. 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 So I thank God for that.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And it's the mothers that have the influence so much on our lives. And never will forget Pastor Davis that, and I didn't understand it then, but she'd sit in that old rocking chair and sing the wonderful songs of old.
My.
At the times that I can look back now and know that she had to been aching, hurting over what she realized was the plight that she had to face in raising the children and meeting the need. But she never failed to see that we're in church and Sunday school on Sunday. We didn't have transportation. She'd always make sure that somebody would come pick us up and we go to church.
Amen.
And as I tell people, I experienced every denomination when I was growing up. Some
Amen.
Frightened me to death. But
Amen. Amen. Well, there's a guy that sung a song. Said, "Mama drug me to church.
Mm-hmm.
Mama drug me to Sunday school."
That's right.
That was the only drug that Mama introduced me to.
Amen.
And it was a good drug.
It was
Amen.
A good drug.
But I thank God for that. Amen.
Yeah.
That's a good thought.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's what they did for us.
That's right.
Amen. They put us in the
and
right
we
place
can,
where we
can
need
look
to
back
make
now
that
and
connection.
Rejoice over that.
Amen.
Absolutely. I believe we have Greg on the line. Go over to the question, comment, please. Hello.
Yes, Pastor Youngblood.
Yes, sir.
This is Joseph, not
Yes, Joseph.
Greg. Okay. Well, listening to the program, me and you have another thing in common. Apparently, you grew up in a fatherless home, and that was also true with me. After seeing Jesus in heaven, I want to visit with my mother. My father, the husband of my mother, died at age 39 and left my mother with four children, ages 6, 4, 3, and 1. Her mission in life became raising me and my three siblings. She sought a suitable father for us, but never did marry. My mother was raised in a Catholic orphanage and was Catholic to the bone. We were drugged to Catholic Mass every Sunday. I eventually left the Catholic Church due to doctrinal issues. But I'd give anything to see her today and take her to the best restaurant in town.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
That's a wonderful testimony, Brother Joseph, and I'm thankful for your life and for your commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I've said many times in my life personally, I do not know where I'd be today, what I would be doing today, had it not been for a godly mom.
Amen. Amen.
So, Pastor Davis, I'm thankful for that.
Amen. 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 So very thankful. And to you on today, who are at odds with your mother. Please get it right.
Yes.
You don't understand what a valuable gift that you have, that you are abusing the time of your life right now. You're robbing yourself of the greatest opportunity to experience God's love. Because I believe, Dr. Youngblood, that the closest to God's love that we can experience on this life, in this life that we're living today, is through a mother's love.
A mother's love.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And you really need to get that that unforgiving spirit. You know, I'm speaking to that unforgiving spirit on today.
Yes.
Amen. I rebuke that spirit. Amen. Amen. Because I really want to see families get together. We need to learn how to forgive and forget. Because remember this, God said, amen, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, amen, chapter 6, if you forgive not your brother their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Let's forgive. Let's forget. I know the memory will always be there, and that's not what that verse means. Of course, amen, our minds, amen, were given to us by God, and they were created to do a certain thing and function in a certain way. And when you remember things, it's doing what it's designed to do. But the thing is, when you remember, you don't hold that against that person.
Absolutely.
Amen. You let that thing go so that God can bring in healing and pour in his love into your relationship.
Yes, God created the home to be a microcosm of heaven.
Amen.
And so often it's a microcosm of hell and not heaven.
Amen.
That's found in the families today.
Amen.
So that admonition is absolutely well placed for those that have any aught with moms, or in fact with dads, to make it right while there's an opportunity to do so. So the question is, ladies and gentlemen, how has your mother influenced your life? We're talking about a mother's influence. Love to hear from you. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. How has mom influenced your life? What has been the difference in your life as a result of a mother's influence? Could be influence for good. It could be influence for bad. I know in 2 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter, there's a wicked mother's influence for godlessness. It was Athaliah. She was the daughter of King Ahab. Her mother was Jezebel. By the way, Pastor, you don't hear many mothers naming a child, a little girl, Jezebel.
Amen. Today. Amen.
It's because of the connotation that you have in the scripture. The truth is that Athaliah took after her mother and her father. And according to 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33, the Bible tells us that her dad, Ahab, says King Ahab was did more to provoke the Lord to anger than all the kings of Israel. So it was the mother and dad's influence on Athaliah that influenced her son. And the scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 4, Pastor, read that for us. 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 4, and it talks about the influence she had.
Amen. 2 Chronicles 22
and
verse 4. Amen. It says here, wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction.
The whole point is that Athaliah was the one that counseled him, her son, and ladies and gentlemen, she brought in the worship of Baal into Judah. She was ruthless. She was wicked. It was Athaliah that had all of the heirs of the throne slain so that she could ascend to the throne. She hated God. She rejected God, any godly worship. And she influenced her son for godlessness.
Amen.
And for evil.
Amen.
This
Amen.
Is the reason I say, if you've got a mother, if you were brought up with a mother that loved the Lord, that saw that you were in church and Sunday school, that read the Bible, had prayer with you, you need to praise God for that mother. Be thankful for that mother and that influence, that indelible influence on your life as a result of her influence each and every day in it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Right after the news, we're coming back. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're talking about a mother's influence. And later in this broadcast, we want to hear from you, your testimony. What has mother meant in your life?
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.